morning, Greater Life. How are you?
You all doing good?
It's good to be here. My age is good to be anywhere.
But I'm just a brother, a long-lost brother. God's put on your doorstep today. I'm maybe not what you've been praying for, but I'm what you've got. I'm what God sent to you today. And it's just a privilege to be here. And I'll talk my best London accent for you. Mate, the Bible says if one comes among you speaking in an unknown tongue, pray that you interpret. So I'll do the best interpretation. Now, if you're going to look at me like that lost look, I'll never preach good. But I've got to hear you saying amen. I feel you. Can I get a feel you? I'm with you. That way you'll get the best out of me. Amen. It's good to be here. I appreciate Pastor Paul and Carrie inviting me to come and share today. I know this pulpit is sacred, and I know they don't let anybody come. And I count it a privilege, even though I've preached all over the world and different churches, the largest in the world, the smallest in the world. It's a privilege to stand in somebody's pulpit and share the good news of Jesus. Amen. How many are glad for Jesus? How many are thankful for the cross? You know, I love communion because, you know, in my old days when I was in Scotland, we had it every week. And we had it every Sunday. And like Paul said, it doesn't say how often you have to have it, but as often as you do, remember him. And I just love communion. I think about the cross because if it wasn't for the cross, we wouldn't be here. If it wasn't for the amazing grace of God who sent his son, we'd never be here today. Amen? So just never forget where we come from, where we've been, and what Jesus has done. I was in a coffee shop the other day in Staines. I was waiting for Paul. I don't know where he went, but he left me. He left me, and I went to a coffee shop. That's what you do, isn't it? When your pastor leaves you, you just head for a Costa or something, or a Starbucks or whatever. And I was sitting there, and this lady was serving, and she's kind of downcast. And then I thought, man, that lady's downcast, and I need to talk to her. You know, you ever get that feeling? Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not one of those obnoxious, nag him and drag him sort of people, you know? If opportunity arises, I'll speak. So I ordered my cappuccino, and I was sitting down, and I'm sitting away around in the back, and all around she comes to clean the table next door, next to me. And so I said, you okay? You're not looking too happy today? Because you really are down. She was downcast. And she said, I'm fine. She says, and then we got talking. She asked me what I did. I said, I'm a pastor. I don't know what she was. I think she was a Muslim. Anyway, she was talking. But anyway, long story short, she said, you've blessed me today. In just a short word, you don't have to preach a sermon. Sometimes you just need to tell people, hey, I see you're downcast, but have a blessed day, and we'll be praying for you. And it's amazing. The Bible says, be cunning as serpents, but as harmless as doves. You're out there. So just remember, when you're out, no matter what you're doing, you can be playing football, you can be playing golf, or you can just, God will put somebody across your way that you just have to have a word to them. It does not be a sermon. It just needs to be a word. And they could change and transform their lives. Amen? Praise God. Now, just before I preach, I want to just share some stuff here. I just have a few things from my pastor, Steve Kelly. I do have my own things, but I didn't have them with me. So the first one I want to talk about is this accent of leadership. I believe Greater Life is building a church of leaders, not just a church of seat warmers. Are you with me? Every one of you here have a potential to be a leader in the kingdom, a leader in your business, a leader in your work, and you just need to believe it. Because what you see, you'll get. If you can't see it, if you're insecure and you think, I'll never make it, or I'll never do this, you'll never attain it. But I want to encourage you, we have an accent of leadership. It's a great book, and I've just a few with me, so first come, first serve. But this is, I don't know what it costs, but it'll be down there. Maisie. Where's Maisie? She's upstairs. She's disappeared. But anyway, that's a great book for every one of you to get. And here's the one on faith. Now, this is the only one we have. So, because we were at a conference this week, we sold hardly everything. But a great teaching, 4 CDs on faith. And Pastor Steve's a tremendous teacher. And if you want to hear about faith. And there's another one. How's your appetite? We have some of them. How's your appetite? What are you hungry for? You're hungry for the things of the Spirit? You're hungry for the things of God? It's amazing teaching. We teach very relevant. We teach very 101. You know, I'm not pretty deep because I'm pretty shallow. You know? And Steve preaches very relevant as well. So there's these 2 things. Also, there's little booklets.
There's one called The Christian Walk. It's a book that we give to every new believer in our church. Just little booklets, and be sure and avail yourselves of them after the service, and you'll be blessed. We're not here with selling books. We're here to get stuff in the hands of the kingdom people so they can do better and be better and think bigger for God. Amen? So just be sure and get that. Amen. If you've got your Bibles, turn to 2 Kings chapter 5. But while you're turning the looking for that, I'd like to read you a story. Is that all right? Thank you, Pastor Paul, for that underwhelming response. I'll ask again. Would you like me to read you a story?
Yeah.
That's better now. Like I told you, if you respond, I'll do better. Right, man? Because if you don't respond, I'll think it's your English people don't like the Scottish people. I'll be very offended. And that's not true, is it?
No.
I love England. I've come to England all my life, and I love London. I have a sister who lives in Derby. She's lived there for 35 years, and we love England, and we love the English people. Never mind what the SNP says. In 1874, on an otherwise ordinary day, Elisha Gray walked into the sanctuary of a Highland Park Presbyterian church and made history. He strung a large spool of telegraph wire throughout the church in an effort to create the telephone. A Greek word tele, meaning away, and phone, meaning voice. Gray believed that two people could speak to each other from distant points using nothing but liquid-based microphones and wire. Amazingly, the crazy thing worked. Crowded pews of gaping onlookers were wowed by the success. The sound of the first telephone was born, and in a church, no less. Gray had a much harder time swaying his investors with his ingenious product, however, based on the bad advice of his dentist, who thought the telephone was a waste of investors' money. And because of that, Gray's prototype went nowhere. What does a dentist know about prototype? After 2 years of painful delay, a self-determined Elisha Gray packed up his notes, stormed the halls of the U.S. Patent Office to file paperwork for his invention. He was anxious to tell the patent committee all about the success in the Highland Park. Unfortunately, another inventor had been working on a similar concept, and as Gray unveiled his story to the committee, he learned that Alexander Graham Bell, who was a Scotsman, by the way, he's born in Edinburgh. Everybody thinks he's American. The sad thing is the Scottish people wouldn't invest in him, so he went to America to get invested. Alexander Graham had just dropped off his own plans and applied for a telephone patent only 2 hours earlier. Although Bell's plans did not include a working model, nor did his conceptual prototype ever work, the courts found in Bell's favor and rewarded him with the rights to the telephone invention, all because Gray was 2 hours late with his presentation. He left his idea hanging in the church because he listened to a negative report. What kind of report are you listening to today? I want to talk about having a breakthrough. It's not described. It's just a story to preamble my message. What kind of report are you listening to? What kind of voices are speaking in your life today? It's important you and I have the right voices to speak into our lives. If you have the wrong voices, you'll go down the wrong trail. A dentist who didn't know anything about investing properly pooh-poohed his idea, and because of that, who's Elisha Gray? But we all know who Alexander Graham Bell was, right? Because he listened to a wrong report. Do not listen to a wrong report. God says you're healed. God says you're great. God says you can make it. That means you're going to make it. Never mind what people say. Never mind what your peers say. Never mind what your parents say. And sometimes never even mind what your pastor says. If God says you're going to make it, you're going to make it. Because God's word never lies. Amen? So I just wanted to share that with you. And, be excited and be encouraged because you can make it. I don't care where you come from. I don't care your background. I don't care. You're God's people, and God's got a way of blessing his people. Amen? So you got 2 Kings chapter 5. So have I. Here we go. Now Naaman was a commander of the army of the king of Aram. He was a great man in the sight of his master and highly regarded because through him the Lord had given victory to Aram. He was a valiant soldier, but he had leprosy. He had all the things going for him, but he had leprosy. How many of you feel like that sometimes? You feel like everything's kind of going for you, but there's just something. There is something in the background. There's something in your psyche. There's something in your mind that kind of holds you back from really just breaking through for God. Are you with me?
Well, I'm here to tell you today, you can break that psyche, you can break that thought, and you can do wonderful, amazing, supernatural things. How many know he's a supernatural God, and he does supernatural things? And we are his people, we are his church, and because of him, we can do what a spirit-filled church, right? And because of the Holy Spirit, you and I can do supernatural things, and you and I can think supernatural thoughts, and you and I can attain to supernatural deeds. Don't let the circumstances hold you back. Now, bands of raiders from Aram had gone out and taken a young girl from Israel, and she served Naaman's wife. It's funny how God has always got somebody in the place at the right time. She said to her mistress, "If only my master would see the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy." I love her faith. She didn't say, "I believe he could cure him." This girl knew faith. She said, "If only she met him, he will cure him." I love that, amen? It's not an iffy situation. It's not a possibility. Real faith talks. Faith is audible. It talks. Faith talks. He will cure him. But Naaman, Naaman goes down in verse 11. But Naaman went away angry and said, "I thought he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, wave his hand over the spot and cure me of leprosy." How many know God doesn't do the things the way we want him to do? But he still does it and gets it right. Are not Abana and Pharphar and the rivers of Damascus far better than all the waters of Israel? Couldn't I just wash in them and be cleansed? So he turned and went away in a rage. Verse 14. So he went down and dipped himself in the Jordan 7 times, as the man of God had told him, and his flesh was restored and became clean like that of a young boy. Verse 17. "If you will not," said Naaman. Naaman tried to pay the prophet, and he said, "No, I don't want payment. It's God that heals." "If you will not," said Naaman, "please let me, your servant, be given as much earth as a pair of mules can carry, for your servant will never again make burnt offerings and sacrifices to any other god but the God, but the Lord." It's a funny thing. Through it all, Naaman had a revelation of worship. He had a revelation of how to worship God, because every Jewish person took some earth with them when they left their country, and they spread it out. When it was time to worship, they would spread it out and they'd kneel on that earth. And Naaman caught that. He said, "Look, when I go into the temple with my master, I'm not going to worship those gods again. I want some earth so I can bow down and stand and worship the true God, the living God." That's what happens when you have a breakthrough. So how the thought is heading for a breakthrough. Heading for a breakthrough. He had everything. Sometimes sooner or later, you and I will need a breakthrough. Amen? It's amazing. Sometimes you see people that have all the ingredients to make it happen, and it never happens. Yet you see some other people that are missing some things, but somehow they get the breakthrough. And that's because God wants you and I to have a breakthrough. Maybe you think, "Well, I don't have what it takes." I'm telling you now, you have what it takes. God has his hand upon you. Why do you think we're here this morning? Because we have nothing else to do? We're here because God's picked you. God's, you maybe just visited today, but I'm here. You're not here just because of happenstance or chance. You're here because God has ordained it that you should be here today to hear a word from the Lord. And this is a word from, I'm telling you, God sent me here today to give you this word. So have an ear to hear. The Bible says that him that has an ear to hear. Now that presupposes you can have an ear and not hear. Have an ear to hear. How many have kids? Then you'll know that they can have ears to hear and not hear. How many have not kids? Keep breathing. So, but the Bible says that him that has an ear to hear, let him hear. So if you listen to God, we're not here by happenstance. We're not here because there's nothing better to do. We're here because God has directed us. The steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. And I like to say, the stops of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. And I just happen to stop by Staines today and because of the direction of the Lord to give you this word. So listen to what the Lord is saying. God wants you and I to have a breakthrough. He wants to, sometimes it's sooner or later. We maybe need it in our family. Maybe some of you get family members that you need a breakthrough with. Maybe your sons and daughters, maybe not serving God. I'm here to tell you, you can have a breakthrough. I've got 4 children. My wife had them all. 3 were born in Scotland. 1 was born in America. I have twins that are 36. I know I don't look that old, but I have twins that are 36. Been married for 40 years. I have a boy, 33, and a girl, 30. 2 of them live in Scotland. They're brought up in America. They decided to go back to Scotland, and they love it. So that's where I'm going from a vacation from now on, once a year, right? I'd rather go to the Bahamas, but because my family's all go to Scotland and endure the cold weather. How many know it's very cold in Scotland? It's a good place to come from.
I love America. But anyway, I have four children, and when I was growing up, I had two boys that got lost in drugs for years. And, you know, people look at pastors, not preachers like I preach here, and people think, well, it's easy for you. You don't have any problems. They never knew the problems I had. I was going through, they were going through drugs. It cost me, one of my sons ended up in jail, and all this stuff. And people didn't know about it because we never wear our life in our sleeves, you know what I mean? But we trusted God. But I was brokenhearted. And sometimes you may be here today and you're brokenhearted because your family, because they're not doing what they're supposed to do. Never give up. Never give up. Listen, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Say it with me. As for me and my house. Now say it like you mean it. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Now you maybe don't see it with your own eyes, but see it in faith. See it that as a statement of faith. Faith is believing what you don't see. Amen? Faith is being sure of what you don't see and certain of what you see. Amen? So faith says, as for me and my house. And I had that for years, for 10 years. I got up, and every morning, I said, devil, you'll never get those boys. Those boys were dedicated to you when they were babies, and they're going to come back. And I've got good news for you today. They're back. They're off of drugs. They're doing great. They're serving God in their own capacity. And one of the boys in America, he's 36, involved in church. God's absolutely blessing him because I kept on going. I needed a breakthrough, and I pressed in for a breakthrough. You've got to press in sometimes. It doesn't come easy sometimes, does it? It may be with your family. So I'm here to tell you, listen, if I can get a breakthrough with your family, with my family, you can have a breakthrough with your family. It may be in your finances. Maybe you're struggling financially. Let me tell you, God can give you a breakthrough in your finances. I was an evangelist for many, many years, and it was a kind of feast or famine kind of thing. You travel, you did well sometimes, and it just. And one time, it's 20 years ago. I was sitting one day, and I had $8,000 in a credit card in debt, and I didn't have the money to pay it. And I've never been in debt. I always paid my credit cards off, and other than a house, I mean, my mortgage and all that stuff, you know what I'm saying? But I'm sitting one day, and I'm an encourager. My ministry is a ministry of encouragement, and I'm sitting one day in my house in America, and I'm discouraged. You ever get discouraged? I mean, there's just times we get discouraged. Even David got discouraged. In Psalm 42, he says, why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, and praise him for the help of his countenance. It's good to speak to yourself. People say you're nuts if you speak to yourself. That's not true. It's the people that don't speak to themselves that go off. You keep speaking to yourself. God is good. I'm finite, but he's infinite, and he's in me, and we're going to make this thing together. Amen? So I'm discouraged one day, even me, after all these years in the ministry, I'm sitting one day discouraged. I know some of you never get discouraged. And I'm saying to God, and I'm saying, Lord, I can't understand this. I'm preaching the same. I had resources, I had books, I had tapes, and I don't know if the offerings would just be smaller or whatever happened. I was $8,000 in debt. And I'm sitting discouraged, and I felt the Holy Spirit say to me, read Psalm 23. So we all know Psalm 23, right? I mean, I've done hundreds of funerals, and you read Psalm 23 at every funeral. You know, one time in Scotland, the 23rd Psalm was sung at every soccer game. Did you know that? They would sing it before the soccer game. And it was sung at every funeral. It was sung at every wedding, or said at every wedding. And it's what we call the sunny little psalm. And you could do better with that Psalm 23 than some of the big theological books you'll ever read, trust me. I felt the Holy Spirit say, read Psalm 33, and I begin to read it. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And you ever get a rhema word right off the book? I've read that many times. And the NIV said, I shall not be in want. That word want is both a present tense and a future tense verb. I shall not want today, and I shall not want tomorrow. So I go through the house and I said to my wife, you know, this is how Scottish people do it, right? We're not Americans. We live in America, but we're still Scottish. This is how we do it. I said to Margaret, I think God spoke to me just now. I think. She said, what did he say? Well, I've been worried about this money, and I've been asking God, and I just read this, and it just came off the page, you shall not be in want. And the truth of the matter was, and you know, all us, and the next week,
I said to my wife, well, we're going to pray. We're going to believe God. That's a word from the Lord. We're going to believe God. So the next week, I got a check in the mail for $10,000. Never had one since. Never had one before. And this is an amazing thing. It was a church of about 15 people. 15 people. You think we're a small church here. It was 15 people. And I hadn't been there for about 6 years. But God laid it on their heart. They had a missions account. 15 people had a missions account of $100,000. And they decided they were going to tithe it to me. God didn't just pay my credit card off. God gave me more than the $8,000. Because he's a Jehovah Jireh. Amen? He's El Shaddai. He's the God of more than enough. He's not the El Cheapo. He's the more than enough God. And that's and you know, I had a breakthrough. And I'm telling you that to encourage some of you. Maybe some of you are struggling with your finances. And you're struggling with that. God will give you a breakthrough. God will give you a breakthrough. And we all need breakthroughs. People go to the edge of fallback. My father, they were business people, but they were drunks. My grandfather was a town drunk, but they were not poor people. They were business people. And one day, he walked into a little coffee shop, a tea room, up in John O'Groats. Anybody know where John O'Groats is? I mean, it's just further north. You can't go any further. You fall into the North Sea if you go any further. And he was up there working during the war. And he walked into a little tea room with about three tables. And the lady that owned the tea room put a gospel tract between the salt and the pepper. You know what a gospel tract is? Just a little touch card. Talks about Jesus and about salvation. Every day she'd clean her tables, put a tract between the salt and pepper. And one day my dad walked in, he was waiting for the bus to go home. And he walked in, sat down for a cup of tea, and he started reading this tract and got his life. And he gave his life to Jesus sitting there. So he told the lady when she came back, he said, look, can I take this home with me? Said, of course you can. Are you a Christian? He said, yeah. She said, when did you give your life to Jesus? Yeah, right now. when you were getting the tea. Mrs. Stevens, her name was. She did a little thing. But listen what happened. My dad had a large family. And 3 weeks later, he's sitting in a little church, smaller than this. And the Lord spoke to him and said, if you remain faithful, I'll bring in all your family. And listen today, there's over 150 of us saved, filled with the Holy Spirit. There's over 35 of us in full-time ministry, somewhere in the world. I have a brother in the Philippines. I have cousins all over America. I have cousins in Scotland, pastoring full-time. Because one man or one lady took the time to put a tract. Because of her action, our family had a breakthrough. Instead of being known as the alcoholics of the town, we became known as evangelists of the town. Amen? And it didn't come easy. It didn't come overnight. It was 7 years later before his next brother got saved. It was an amazing story because God's delays are not denials. If you're having trouble and you're praying for your family and you want a breakthrough in your family, never give up. It's always too soon to quit. Never give up. 7 years later, the next brother gets saved. And then after that, two young evangelists right out of Bible college come up to hold a 1 week's revival. And in that 1 week, 95 people give their lives to Jesus. No, 6 weeks. The 1 week lasted for 6 weeks. And in that 6 weeks, 95 people get saved. But 65 of them were Camerons. My family. How good, after that 7 years of nothing, all of a sudden the Holy Spirit sweeps in and saves our family. And that's how we had a breakthrough. You maybe have a, so if you need a breakthrough in your family, God can do it. If you need a break, and God will send somebody to help you to see it come to pass. If you need a breakthrough in your finances, if you need a breakthrough in your health, if you have a breakthrough in the ministry, sometimes we just need a breakthrough in our ministry life. God can do it. God always comes through. God's never in a hurry. And always in time. We were always in a hurry and never in time. God always is on time. He knows what he's doing. He's not shocked. God's not shocked at what you do. God's not shocked with what you've done this week. Nothing can shock God. Well, there's nothing. And I'm looking for a clock. I can't see a clock. What do you say the clock was? Oh, yes. I'm as blind as a bat. So I've got 15 more minutes to give you 30 minutes of a message. Is that all right? So fear. Here's some things will stop you from having a breakthrough. Fear. Fear will stop you from having a breakthrough. And I often say that fear is the dark room where we develop all our negatives. You want to write that one down, remember it. Fear is the dark room where we develop all our negatives. You see, fear will paralyze you.
from moving on. Fear will stop you from doing what God wants you to do. Here's another one. Lack of faith will stop you from having a breakthrough because we go by sight instead of faith. Faith is being sure of what you hope for and certain of what you do not see. Now, never mind your natural eyes. What do you see with the spiritual eyes? That's where God wants to bring you. Because in the natural, it's all mayhem and trouble, perhaps. It's all difficulties. It's all struggle. But if you look a little higher, listen, never mind the problem. Look a little higher. Never mind the wind and waves. Never mind the fire. Jesus can do miracles. If he wants to, he'll turn the stones to bread. So don't look at the problem. Look to God instead. That's a song we wrote years ago. Don't just look a little higher. So don't allow fear, lack of faith to stop you from doing what God wants you to do. How many are on Facebook? Anybody here on Facebook? That's the 21st gossip column. You know that, don't you? There's nothing hidden in Facebook. And I'm amazed that some people I know that even go to our church, and they're on the Facebook all the time, and it's all negative, negative, negative. And this is true. It's not funny, but you could laugh, but it is true. They're always sick. This family is always sick. They're always negative. They're always in need. And not financially. They do well enough financially. But just like, they're always, and I'm thinking, if you just change your talk, if you just change your mindset, if you just get some faith instead of fear, you'll have a breakthrough in your health. And it's important we talk right. It's important we see right. Two men looked out of prison bars. One saw mud and the other saw stars. We've got to look right and we've got to look up and look ahead. Are you with me? So lack of faith will stop you from a breakthrough. Because all we'll see is the problems. Insecurity will stop you from having a breakthrough. Insecurity. Remember Jonah? Jonah gets a command from God. Go to Nineveh. I want you to have a revival there and it'll be great. Now how many know God doesn't play games? If God said to Jonah, I want you to go to Nineveh, he knew he could do it. But the problem was that Jonah didn't think he could do it. And what did he do? He ran away to Tarshish. He went the opposite way from God and what God wanted him to do. Now, this is what happened. If you read the life of Jonah, there are four downs in the life of Jonah when he runs away from God's plan. And when you run away from God's plan, it's down, down, down. He went down to Tarshish. He went down to the ship. He went down to the sea. He went down to the belly of the fish. Are you with me? Because he was insecure. He was running from God. And the theologians say he was about 2,000 miles away by the time he finished in the belly of a fish, away from Nineveh, as far as he could get. But somehow or other, the Bible says that Jonah looked toward Jerusalem. Now, I don't know how he managed to do that in the belly of a fish, a stinky, smelly, slimy fish. But here, I mean, he gave it a good shot, and it worked. He looked towards Jerusalem. He said, Lord, I'm sorry. I've been disobedient, but if you get me back and I'll do it. And of course, you know what happened. The fish took him right back. I don't know how long it took, but he had a little room there with a table and a light, air conditioned, water cooled. And he landed up in Nineveh, had a greatest revival, even recorded in history, because he lost his insecurity. So insecurity will stop you from doing great things for God. Deal with insecurity. Catch it. Talk to yourself. Hey, I'm not going down that road. If you catch yourself talking an insecure thought or say something insecure, catch it. Hey, I'm not going to say that. I said it before. I'm stopped going to say that. Are you with me? Are you getting something out of this today?
Yeah.
Good. Are you guys getting something out of this? I don't see much reaction from you. I need to get something. Resentment will stop you from having a breakthrough. Resentment. Don't cry foul because of your color, our station in life, our horrible upbringing. The truth is, if you're served lemons, make lemonade. Everybody's had different upbringings. Christine Kane, who knows Christine Kane? Great, one of the greatest woman evangelists in the world today, from Hillsong. She had a horrible upbringing, just a horrible, horrible upbringing. But she refused to become a victim, and she became a victor, and she's changing the world with A21. And the truth is, it doesn't matter your upbringing. We can't erase that in a sense. It is what it is, but you can take it and learn from it and help other people, because the truth of the matter is, us getting a breakthrough is not even for ourselves. It's for other people. God wants us to be a blessing to others, and blessing will I bless thee. Are you with me? So we can be resentful over what happened to us and our how we landed in our life's lot. Annie was brought up in poverty. Her mother died when she was 8. She contracted an eye disease while young. Her father abused her and finally abandoned her. And she was sent to a poor house with her sickly younger brother, who died a few months later. She was left all alone, but however, she ended up being the valedictorian of her class, that means the top of her class, at a special school for eye problems. Helen Keller was born blind and deaf. How many has ever heard of Helen Keller? And people, Helen Keller's parents were having a hard time getting through to her and getting her on with life. But a young woman called Annie Sullivan, the Annie we've been reading about, came along and helped Helen Keller to become an inspiration to the world. She refused to give up because of her circumstances or because of her lot in life. She had a breakthrough, and because she had a breakthrough, she helped Helen Keller to have a breakthrough. And because Helen Keller had a breakthrough, many, many people with eye deficiencies and deafness has had breakthroughs in their life. Because it works. Are you with me? So here's just a couple of things that Naaman had to do to have a breakthrough. Seven traits, and I'll be very quick. Who'll give me 5 more minutes? Let me see your hand. 5, 10, 15, 20. Okay. So there are 7 things Naaman had to do in order to have a breakthrough. Number 1, pride, verse 11. I thought he would come to me. He was angry because the prophet didn't come to him. He sent a servant. And some people were like that sometimes. I want the pastor to pray for me. I want Pastor Paul to pray for me, or Pastor Cady to pray for me. How many know what I'm talking about? Don't have to lift your hands. I'm not asking for a show of hands. But sometimes that's how we think. I want the big kahuna to pray for me. But in our staff in Virginia Beach, there's 6,000 people. It's impossible for Pastor Steve to pray for all these people. So he has a team. There's about 60 of us. And some of us do hospital visitation. But when we go down there to the hospital, we have the authority of Pastor Steve to pray for these people and the authority of God to see them healed just the same as though he was doing it. So we don't, you know, but he got angry because he thought it should come that way. God uses people, anybody. If Pastor Paul sends any of you to visit somebody in the hospital, just realize you have the authority of Pastor Paul to pray for someone. So he was full of pride, rather. He had to get rid of his pride, verse 11. Number 2, he had to get rid of anger. The Bible says you went away angry. You ever been angry at God? I have. I'm honest, at least. When my boys were going through this stuff, I was angry with God. But how many know God's a big boy? He doesn't get offended easily. He understood. I got angry and I'd shout at him, and why my boys were this and that. And, but at the end of the day, I had a breakthrough because God could handle that. It's all right if you're angry, son. Just get it out of your system. Are you with me? Just be angry and sin not. He was presumptuous, verse 11. I thought God's ways are not our ways. We think one way, God thinks another. If you want to get a breakthrough, think his ways. Are you with me? Sometimes we think how God should work, or we think how we get rid of, but we need to get rid of that thinking. I don't think they'll get saved. How many has ever said that? I don't think they'll get saved. Well, that eyes you, then I will get saved. I talked to a lady one time, and she said to me, my husband's not saved. And as she said it, it was like a finality about it. Like she didn't expect him to be saved. And as she said it, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, he's not saved yet. And that's the yet of faith. And I want you from now on, when you talk about someone who's not saved, I want you to add that appendage, because that's a yet of faith. And when we add that yet of faith, every demon in hell and earth stand back in their heels because they know you are expecting something to happen. Are you with me? So he was angry. He was presumptuous. You know, and we can't, you know, God will do things his way. He won't do it our way. How many remember when Jesus spat in the guy's eye, the blind guy? Imagine. If that was the disciples were horrified. You know, they could hear the dirty dozen, them mumbling, you know. You know, today we probably have a webpage, spitting.com, you know, and spread it all over the place. But as God's ways are not our ways, you cannot put God in a box. Listen, he was prejudiced. In verse 12, are not the rivers of Arbana and far better than that muddy Jordan? And sometimes you and I can be prejudiced. And when I talk about that, I don't mean just color. I mean just prejudice sometimes with the way, I don't like the way worship is. I had a lady come to me recently and said, I didn't like the worship today. I said, well, I didn't realize we were worshiping you. I thought we were worshiping God, you know. But we get prejudice. People come in our church. We have a large church, right? So we've got people with blue hair, pink hair, mohawks. Black, white, yellow, red. And they come in with piercings and out of every orifice in their body. And tattoos up to their neck, all that kind of stuff. We're all in the bus together. We can't be prejudiced together. We've got to love them and bring them in and let God bless them and carry on with their life. Are you with me? So God loved everybody. God came to love everyone and to save anybody. So we've got rid of our prejudice. Even the disciples said to Jesus, "There's a guy down the river baptizing." And Jesus said, "Well, is he for us or against us?" "Oh, he's for us." "Well, let him be. You follow me." So churches don't compete. Churches are lighthouses that bring the same ship into the port safely. Are you with me? So your church down the street is not your enemy. The enemy is the world, the flesh, and the devil, right? Okay, number what? I'm used to people taking notes and they'll take. Number five, disobedience. He went away. In verse 11, he went away. Isn't it amazing that he would rather keep his leprosy than just do something simple? And sometimes, God doesn't ask us to do difficult things. He only asks us to do things we can. Mrs. Stevens put the track. God probably asked her to put something between a salt and a pepper. He doesn't ask us to do difficult things. He only asks us to do the possible, and he does the impossible. Amen? So we've got to understand, we've got to be obedient. Whatever he says, do it. Mary says to the disciples in Cana Galilee, in the first miracle, whatever he tells you, do it. And that's a funny story, Mary, Because Jesus said to Mary, "What are you talking about? My time has not yet come." But Mary was his mother. And Mary said to him, "Listen, son, you're maybe Jesus. And maybe God's your father, but I'm your mother. You'll do what I tell you." Because he does. She actually brought Jesus' time up. Because he said, "My time has not yet come." And Mary said, "Whatever he tells you, do it." And she brought his time up because she was a mother. Are you with me? So your mothers have more power than you think. You know what they say, the hand that rocks a cradle rules the world. So he was disobedient. Number six, offenses. What time is it? Two more minutes, right? Offenses. He went off in a rage. We get offended. How many times have we got offended? Come on. Let's be honest. We get offended at least once a week. Yes. But the funny thing is, people get offended and leave the church. I think it's weird because I've been married for 40 years and my wife offends me every week. And I'm pretty sure I offend her just as easy. But we've never left the marriage, you know what I'm saying? But we're still together, and you learn to work it out. But somehow people get offended with the pastor, and they leave the church instead of working it through and getting a breakthrough in the fences. You got offended. He lost his healing. Number seven, he was defiant. He walked away defiant. You'll never get the blessing of God in your life if you keep being defiant. But the moment he gave in and came back, and it's funny, God used his servant, and his servant said, "Master, he only asked you to do a simple thing. He didn't ask for your money. He didn't ask for your gold. He asked you to do a simple thing like dip in the water seven times. How dumb can you be and still breathe? It's simple." And the Naaman came back and dipped, and he was healed. When you get rid of those seven things, at least those seven things, and there's things in your life today you probably need to get rid of in order to have a breakthrough. Are you with me? How many would love a breakthrough? How many need a breakthrough? Every head bowed, every eye closed. You may be here today. And first, I'm going to do two things. First, I'm going to do this one first. Now, you may be here today and you're going to say, "Robert, I hear the word. I need a breakthrough in my life." It may be in your college. It may be with your schooling. It may be with your family. It may be with your own ministry. It may be with your just finances. And you say, "Robert, I need a breakthrough." Slip your hand up. I'm going to pray with you. Don't be ashamed. Don't be shy. Yes, hands up all over the place. Father, I just thank you for those people, Lord. I ask you to bless them. Whatever realm it's in or on, I ask you to bless them and get them a breakthrough as they honor you. Father, we will not be offended. Father, we will not be angry. We will not be presumptuous. Father, we want a breakthrough, and we'll do it. Lord, you said we'll do it. And Father, we're going to believe for a breakthrough. Father, for those that have finances, we believe for the money to come in. For those that have family problems, we believe. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And we thank you, Lord, because you're more willing to give than we're willing to receive. And everybody said, every head bowed, every eye closed. Maybe you're here today and
you've never given your heart to Jesus. Maybe you're just visiting. Maybe you've been coming. You've never made that decision. And I'm going to pray with you because that could be the big breakthrough in your life. If you say, Robert, I want to give my life to Jesus. Slip that hand up again. Let me pray with you. Slip it up. You'll never get it easier. Amen. 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 There'll be a third one. Let's repeat this prayer after me, everybody. Lord Jesus, come into my life. Help me from this day forward to live for you. As I now confess, Jesus Christ is my Savior. And Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen. Thank you for coming. God bless.
Cool. Wonderful. Come on. Let's give some real appreciation here. Anyone feel a little encouraged? How many people are going to change their attitude towards their life this week? Yeah? How many feel like being positive is a little better than being negative? How many people think faith is better than fear? And that was great stuff, inspiring stuff. And we make recordings of those, we get CDs of those, we get podcasts out. And I really